From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision.
Howdy, everybody. We are the Horrible Decisions Podcast, and we are going to be in Dallas, Texas, Memorial Day weekend. Bitch, it's a Sunday. We're going to be headlining the Two Together Land Festival, and you bitches better not have no motherfucking work on Sunday. Call out, ho.
I mean, you could do that, but also, it's a three-day weekend. They have Monday off. We will see you guys in Dallas, Texas at the Together Land Festival. Make sure you get your tickets now. We will be live on the podcast stage. That's May 26th. Get your tickets now at togetherland.com. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible. This is Jones. I'm your girl Mandy B, aka Dead Beach.
Hi everybody, welcome back for another episode. I'm Weezy. We're in the studio today with no guests.
Oh, I know y'all happy. Go ahead and play with your pussy now, bitch. Wait, why are you looking at me like that?
Okay,
well, if you at work, don't play with your pussy. Wait till you get.
By the way, speaking of work, I have had people like on set be like, oh, you're a podcaster? What's your podcast called? And the second they click on something, like, we curse so much in the first 45 seconds. I'm like, I can't imagine how y'all feel when your headphones die.
I mean, did we just curse right now?
Go ahead and play with your pussy, bitch.
First off, yeah, pussy is anatomy.
Pretty science,
and bitch is a female name for a dog. Mm-hmm. So both of those are technically,
yeah,
it's giving science.
Okay.
Okay, you're right. I think that we both recorded a lot. The next time we in the studio.
You're worse than me.
I'm going to work on it.
Is Mandy worse than me? Who curses more?
Thank you. I like, well who would you say
who's
is
bigger or more?
Wow. Whoa.
I feel like it's, you're the problem.
Whoa there. I really don't think that
you say like, nigga a lot when we have a white guest, and it's and mind you, I don't think there should be a nigger. I was gonna say nigga counter,
not the ER.
No, I was gonna say a nigga counter.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what? A nigga counter. I don't think we need a nigga clock on how many nigga times you got. But I'm just saying, we have white guests, and you say nigga, I'll be sitting there like,
okay, oh. I'm not gonna lie. I only catch myself as it's coming out, then I'm be like, fuck, I already said it. So I'll be thinking of not to say it the next
when
time.
We was with Julie Ginger and you was like, cause these niggas, I was like, nah, I hope she'll say it back.
So here's the thing, I do it as a little test. Cause then they might feel a little bit too comfortable. And if they say the shit next to us, we gonna have to clock their ass.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it,
clock their butts. I'm gonna try not to curse.
I say, okay, so like the volume in which I say nigga in front of white people is really up to their proximity to other niggas. For example, with Rory, I don't really get scared about saying nigga. With Liz Goldwyn, I give her one or two.
Okay.
Because I'm just like, I know your other friends, they're like, these niggas. And I'll be like, I'm letting you chill. But when I'm real passionate about something and I'm like about to cry and we talk about men or something, I'll be like, because you know niggas just, and she don't care, obviously, because she chill. But with Rory, I feel like you listen to like music every day, mall be like, so it's okay.
I mean,
Julian definitely can't say nigga.
For me, it's really hard because.
Not with all them white women.
I only fuck with niggas. Like, if I'm talking about men, there ain't no crackers.
So
there ain't no, I'm not going to start naming all the words that we call people of other ethnicities. However, I only deal with one. And these niggas be pissing me off. These motherfuckers.
So I know we just said we shouldn't be cursing too much.
Okay, I'm not cursing for the rest of the
episode. If you've never heard of our show, it's actually about, to be fair, it's about decolonizing kink for niggas. But you're allowed in here to listen. And we appreciate your dollars and subscriptions because you know what? It pays our nigga bills.
And so anyway. Hopefully you support us with our book coming out. I kind of wanted that to be our catch up.
Oh, I put nigga in one chapter. That's it.
Wait, really? You're limiting the use of nigga in our book?
No. I literally.
I thought that's that's why we really wanted a black author so she could comfortably get our voices across the paper.
Well, I'm writing mine out where like she's just editing. But like I will read you a little part of mine. So I literally put Beard Bay and scissors in a group chat. I'm actually gonna read you guys a text. So I forget a lot of shit. And I was like, damn, I don't wanna lie, because it's not like I'm lying, it's just how I remember something. So this is how I started a text to them. Hey, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I'm working on writing this book with Mandy, and I wanted to fact check with y'all because one of the chapters is all about my throuple. They wrote, LOL, okay. I said, all right, here we go. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Did I eat the cum out of scissors, or did you pull it out and I licked it off of her pussy? Sorry, can't remember.
Oh, my God.
He said, definitely I pulled out of her pussy and put it in your mouth. Out of body experience, I could have passed out from that. My body was nothing. And also, add this in your book. You turn into a senior citizen after you come. Tell the people that. And then he said, you should also add in that time that when you did, you started petting her. And then she said, bitch, are you petting me? You ain't in this no more. Because see, when I come, it's like I pass out.
And you're like,
so I was trying to do this to let them niggas know I rubbed the titty like in a circular motion. Like, I'm still in it. We still, but here is one of the things that I wrote. And this is when I was like, oh, this is so like black. Literally, there's a chapter where I wrote, now, mind you, and in parentheses, I put nigga shit. Like, that's some black shit to say.
Oh, that's the only time you're going to put it in the book?
No.
Time in the parentheses?
I'll read you something I wrote. Finally, we get to bed. Beard Bay immediately kisses her. I can't remember if it's their first kiss or not, but I could remember I was not needing to be involved. I felt everything that her body could be feeling. Excitement, pleasure, nerves, this strange way of feeling connected to her and making me feel very healthy and safe. I even remember her peeking her eye open as a way of making sure I was looking and feeling comfortable. But this nigga, on the other hand,
that's a second count.
Yep.
Already.
Was just happy to be in that motherfucker. I will say, he's consistently one of the most sexy guys in the room, but it was still his first threesome, and I love watching a nigga on his knees serving a bitch. Oh, sorry, two niggas. Three.
That's three. In it within 10 sentences.
All right, so maybe I should break it up. It's giving Mandy's chapter.
My work on this book has been hard.
You started with the pain chapters?
No, bitch. Put those as last.
Mandy and I, by the way, are just calling, like, some of them are hard. So we say, oh, these are painful. These are nice.
So when I say there's certain chapters that I literally went through and I put last, have to work through my therapist with this. One of the ones that I actually felt comfortable working through brought a lot of anxiety to me. So, I am doing a chapter on my abortion, which is why I hit you up. And me with my friends, we've been talking about just all of our experiences with abortions lately. But basically, for this chapter specifically, not only is my experience included, but I did an interview with my mom. And maybe a day and a half after my abortion, it never happened. Me and my mom never revisited it. We never talked about it.
I didn't either.
It was never a conversation. And so for this book specifically, I interviewed her to see how she felt about me coming to her and how I said, how she remembers the day that I told her, walking with me into the clinic. And I had to relive kind of my abortion all over again that I haven't spoke on. So I interviewed my mom. We ended up speaking a lot about not only that experience with me, but her abortions, one being with my dad. So there was a lot about relationship. I didn't know one was with my dad. And it was at the end, it was literally the abortion that she had, knowing that.
I almost don't want you to tell.
I mean, I don't know if this is going to make the book. And I mean, I'll share a little bit of it now. But basically, that abortion with my dad was because she knew she could no longer stand the abuse with him.
Mm.
And so she had the abortion right before we ended up in a shelter because she had to get away. And I don't want to cry. It's been a lot. And then this was the first time I asked my friend who gave me the money for my abortion. I interviewed her. And it's just like, there's so much about my past that I just put behind me. And shout out to Keita. Love you. We're still friends to this day. I called her and I remember we literally relived our friendship. We weren't that close because I felt like she stole my best friend from me in high school because we went to different high schools after middle school. Shout out to Allie. And us having the conversation, I had never asked her what that money meant to her. She was my only friend at the time that had a job. And she literally sent me the money that she made at Cold Stone. And so this was my first time. My abortion was right before me going into junior year. So
did you ever pay her back? Did you guys talk about it?
Oh, I paid her back immediately, which is what I found out. She was like, we never talked about it again. All you kept saying was you'll pay me back and you paid me back. But we never discussed it. And mind you, this is how, listening back to it, my abortion was only $500. She said, I called her and was like, I got $100. My mom didn't have nothing. She maybe gave me like $300. And she was like, at the time, that was like $50,000.
Yeah.
So like the conversations I'm having around what's going in this book are hard because I realize having an abortion that young, all of my friends having an abortion that young, we all know we had abortions and we don't really talk about it. And to know that I literally have not had the conversation with my mom or one of my friends who even helped me pay for it brought a lot of anxiety to me to even hear it because it was what I feel like to this day, my mistake. It's also funny because I had to relive that day. I was with you. It was with that motherfucking gangbanger nigga. They got locked up. And so
I had a plan B abortion with that gangbanger nigga. Let's
like,
not forget.
So I'm just like, this book therapeutically, if that's even a word, has been a lot on me. I'm recording my therapy sessions with my therapist for this book, but over
that
the
doesn't
last,
feel invasive.
I mean, I ask everyone.
Because you're giving by the way, we should explain why you're recording them.
I mean, I'm recording them for a multitude of reasons.
We have a book editor.
Well, we have a book editor, yes. But for me, I've been in therapy for 3 years. I am very much in the present and plan to be a better person in the future. I cut off from everything that doesn't fit well. My trauma response and defense mechanism is removing myself. I recently had a conversation with my therapist that was so uncomfortable because in writing about this book, I keep referring to my past self as she. She did, like, it's not even me. And so I'm having this outer body experience trying to realize that she is me. That's actually my experience. And I keep referring to myself in past tense like it's a whole nother person because either my decisions, I don't like them. And that's why I told you with writing this book, it was going to be really important for me to not fully be prideful of all the things I've done because I'm not happy of the decisions and such that I've made all the time with every man. Every time I lay down, the things, you know, within my family dynamic. And so it's like really been interesting getting through this. So I love that we've gotten to a place where we both like can agree to kind of what we want to share in this book. But this process heavily weighing on me from the divorce of my last podcast to dealing with this, to dealing with the internet, to dealing with the comments. Like it has been just heavy because it's been a lot. It's been a lot. Like literally from possibly trying to reach out to my cousin about like his sexuality, because that's a part of my anal sex story. Like I'm Jamaican. Anal sex means you gay. And now I'm in a place where, bitch, I love a booty hole. Like literally being able to see my transgression of just who I've become and having to really sit with things that make me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's been a really good experience, a really heavy experience, but I'm like hoping that y'all like this book and y'all buy it and y'all come see us on tour next year.
I mean, I'm only in the erotica stages of the book, which is kind of scary. Like, you just kind of even scared me talking just now. I was like,
girl!
One of my chapters is about an R-word story. Mm-hmm. And mine was very violent. And he's a popular person in the industry. And not anymore. I'm sure I'm making more money than him. But he was once upon a time. And it's crazy because, like, I remember hitting up Charlemagne and I told him who it was. And I was like, should I not include that this person was famous that did this to me?
No, you got to include that.
And he was like, well, a lot of you at that age, because I was telling him about it a little bit. And really, I think the reason I went back to that hotel room and that experience happened to me was probably because he was famous, right? I'm 19, 20. I think I was 19. But yeah, like that young, dumb girl shit. Like, I don't know. The power in saying no now is so easy to me. And
you don't understand, though, the power dynamics either of celebrity. Like,
because remember, I asked for help.
Right, but we...
And they didn't help me because of who he was.
We've talked about... I shared both of my stealthing experiences on this pod. You know who...
One of them was.
One of them was. The other one I'll tell you when we're done. Both of them were rich, famous celebrities. And I even recall not feeling violated because, okay, they got the money. I'll get the plan B. And also, I didn't know stealthing was a violation. Or an assault or something. Because I consented to have sex with you with protection, you pulling it off later. Of course, I didn't consent to that. But also in my mind, though it was violating to not feel violated in the moment because of who it was.
Have you ever confronted them?
No.
I did.
Did you?
Yep. Wanted to talk to him about it. Got influenced by another one of his rap mates. And he acted like I was tripping. I think he said I was tripping. That he was like, yeah. I feel like if I saw him now, I might spit on him. But I really just kind of pity him, I guess. Because, like, I know I'm not the only person. Because one of his bandmates told me that he'd heard it before. And he told me that in confidence.
Oh, wow.
Not confidence in me. Bitch, he fucked me up. But, nah, I think the craziest part about my story, and y'all read it in the book, is that I literally ran out of the room, asked for help. And when he came behind me, he was like, yo, she's drunk. Da, da, da. And I asked a woman for help. That's the crazy thing about some of these. And I'm like, damn, I do have to include that he's a famous person.
No, you do.
But the thing that's difficult about it is people will tell you or act as though you're, you know, searching for this clout within this thing. Bro, a famous nigga doing that to me is not going to make or break my career or this story or this book. But I do think, and I kind of empathize now with some women that choose to come out. I guess I always have, but like, I realized, like, damn, you kind of want to release it. Mm-hmm. And it is a release, but I haven't got to that part of the book. I mean, I'm at this super juicy, nasty part of the book, right? Like, I'm talking about how I was sucking cum off my fingers from scissors, wet she was, how we would go in the bathroom when Beard Bay was asleep and we would dish about the threesome, like, just fun shit I've never talked about. And also, what makes this book even crazier is like, I'm falling in love with someone while writing this book. And experiencing new things. And like, I don't know. It's weird because I thought it would be more about like my release from like Old Bay and realizing I'm in this empowering moment. And now I'm just like, oh, bitch.
Girl, we wrote this proposal when I was still with this nigga. The chapters that are last are with him. I hate that I have to talk about a fun time with someone that I hate. Like,
I've been able to
You've been
learn.
Able to do that?
Yes. I've released 2 years.
I guess, before we get into our vanilla shit, because, bitch, I got an outline and we going to stick to it.
This was in your outline.
It was. I want to ask you, how do you remember and enjoy or relive or try to think back to good moments with people that ended up hurting you so badly?
I forgave myself. Listen, Old Bay is a dope person. He's fun. I have fun memories with him. He definitely violated my trust and my loyalty, but I forgave myself because I just was like, there were so many good memories. He'll change. He's great. We're such a fit. Who am I going to meet that also has money too and can travel the world with me? Boom. Next week, bitch. Anyway. Just saying, like, these niggas, and my new niggas finer and more connected to me and my body and spiritually able to, like, understand that he needs to fill me up. I was so surface level with Old Bay. I was having so much fun with this person that, like, I just kind of thought it'll work itself out. But I forgave myself. That was the thing. I spent so much time in therapy. This is not a projection. Yelling about this nigga, being mad and feeling not jealous, but just, well, yes, jealous that he could move on. He moved on with someone else and she's beautiful. And like, I'm sure she's great. And I was jealous that she could possibly be getting a version of him that I didn't see. But I forgave myself because I should have left that nigga a while ago.
I think that's my problem. I'm so upset with him, but now I'm like upset that he's not here. That's my problem. I think that that's why.
You should be happy.
I know, but that's where I'm having the difficulty. I'm not interested. Like, I'm still, where are we? I'm literally almost a full year out of this fucking relationship, and I'm not, I don't feel at all any further in feeling empty without him. Like, I still, as much as he hurt me, there's so much that I miss about how he made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
Or the feelings of those things. And we'll get into that for the horrible decision, because it's kind of where I've been, but we'll get to it.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Vanilla shit for this week. I wanted to have fun with this just a little bit.
Oh, because we argued about Drea a few weeks ago?
Yeah, and this is some... Well, this one isn't current events because, bitch, fuck that shit. Y'all ain't getting current events out of me. but this one comes from Spiritual Word. And this is actually funny because I wanted the room, if anything, we could talk and open up the floor to y'all with how y'all are using your dick outside in these streets. Bless you. Bless you. I felt another one coming. A new study says that 5% of Americans are now having sex to save on heating bills.
5%?
Amid surging utility costs. Let me get the thing. As per a recent report by New Homes Mate, 46% of the 1,000 Americans surveyed are finding it challenging to cover their bills. And approximately a quarter opt to wear additional clothing, while over a third have decided between heating and buying groceries. To stay warm, 5% are engaging in intimate activities.
Huh.
While 2% are actually just choosing to drink liquor, because y'all know that shit make you hot. For a more lasting solution, the report found that 60% of homeowners made energy-saving upgrades to their homes. This included 16% who upgraded their windows, 22% who adopted their thermostats, which is great because clearly they have money. But basically, women, couples or singles are choosing, instead of putting on the heat and raising their utility bills, to just invite a motherfucker over and have some sex.
I've done some dumb shit to, like, I'll tell you the dumbest thing that I've done.
Please share with the audience.
To save money. So you probably heard me mention my nigga drives. My street has cleaning on, like, I think it was bullshit. Wednesday from midnight to 3 a.m. He was like, damn, bro, I should just park and get the ticket. The ticket's going to be $100, whatever. I was like, or we could go out for 3 hours and save the money that you would have got on the ticket because we're already drunk. So we only going to get 2 drinks when we go to Buttons or whatever spot. We're going to be straight.
Wow. I actually thought you were going to say,
dumb,
let's just fuck in the car and then you can move it. I literally thought,
oh, I'm going to tell you what we do.
He still spent money.
Not 100 for the ticket. So this is what I've been doing lately. So couldn't find a spot the other night. We went to this party and he was like, damn, babe, I was cold. It was raining. And he was like, let me double park, kiss you goodnight. Like, really, the Lower East Side's a wild place. So then, you know, pussy was out looking juicy. And you could see his car from the window. Bitch, we was fucking just like this, waiting for the cop to come. Just waiting for that motherfucker. I was like, oh, did the police got, no, you're not getting your ticket. Oh, and yeah.
You he was looking like, out the window for a parking police officer.
He watched that pussy and I watched for the police.
I'm not playing with you.
Speaking of the police, I just want to say, a lot of cops know who we are and it's a very uncomfortable situation. Has this happened to you when you were in jail?
Wait, calm down.
Oh, sorry. Was that me?
Whoa, bitch. Whoa, it was what you just said. I'd like to share my personal story here. Not, like,
Have you shared my personal
story? That was like me a few weeks ago. And I was like, let me tell about my abortion. I'm not telling you to jail.
No, bitch. I actually have met quite a few cops. And it's crazy because I like a man in uniform. So, baby.
Oh, Lord.
Blue lives matter just as much as blue balls.
Oh, Mandy.
Wait, is that... Wait, okay, sorry. That was a bad joke. Y'all, we're comedians here. There's a comedian in my slash. So...
In my slash.
I'm a media host, personality, producer, comedian. Comedian allows me to offend everybody. I had to add it.
Okay, babe.
It was a bad joke. Sorry.
So tell us about this motherfucking cop.
So no. I'm just saying that... And I think I mentioned it to you. During my December stint on the dating app that should go unannounced, I matched with a nigga who was in the academy. And I was so ready because, you know, I already had a firefighter. I said, oh, the next one's going to be a cop, different uniform. I'm hyped. I actually love a man in uniform.
Uh-huh.
But it just wasn't working. It just wasn't. It just wasn't working. But the cops that I've met on the out, y'all listen to the pod, by the way, because y'all stopped me on the train. Y'all stopped me on the corner. I done crossed the street. I done had at least 3-4 cops be like your show.
Me
like
too.
What you're doing.
I have a lot of women come up to me, women cops.
Do you think it's weird that cops listen to us?
No. I mean, no one's ever come up to me that's not black.
I ain't gonna hold you. Any career that has an extensive overtime pay, full of whores. Because you could always just say, babe, I'm working late. Lawyers, cops.
How did
nurses,
you get here?
Doctors.
Like,
I don't
why
know.
Do you have to be a whore to listen to this show?
No, you don't.
I'm not even a whore and I do this show. So
in your slash liar is there. Okay, got you.
Actually, you want to know how much of a hoe I am? So for this Hawaii trip, we're like looking up shit, trying to figure out where we're going to go, right? And I was like, yo, I just want us to have a really relaxing time. Like, I don't want to party. Maybe we'll look for like a little black and Oahu group and we'll do one little Afrobeat thing. We go to bed. He was like, yeah, I want to wake up early. Plus, we're going to be 6 hours. Bet. Like, let's relax. Girl, somehow I stumbled upon a sex party on a yacht in Hawaii the day we leave. And I was like,
oh, no, y'all got to stay an extra night.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you just have to.
I was like, hey, I know that we were talking about relaxing. However,
I'm not going to lie. And this is now, you just have to let them know for research purposes, y'all.
I literally said, I think I should charge this to the car. I was like, oh, bitch. Yep.
No. Now, if you want to fly me to Hawaii on the business so that I, too, can experience this for research purposes.
No, like, I just feel
I
like
mean, I'm down I to take a trip to Hawaii.
They don't need to be charging me, bitch, because I'm going to plug them. But no, we literally had to extend the fucking little car, extend the state. Oh, and I was like, goodness. Yeah, I really feel like I should be doing this. It's very difficult when you're like trying to be good.
Not trying
because
to be
the
good.
Horror comes out of you. You know, like
the
there's
horror.
The horror?
Horror.
It's really bad. Like, I literally can't look at women in Pilates or yoga. Like, it's like...
So you sexualize women?
I'm horny. Because there's a horror deep inside of me. Bro, has anyone ever done happy baby position? You know what this is?
No. Go ahead. You just want to twerk your ass up.
No. Like...
Oh, wait. Happy baby is when you... You can't do it in that... Look, is it a squirt? Is that why? Oh, bro, you.
This how nasty it is.
Y'all, she.
This happy baby. And you basically stretch your.
Oh, yeah. This is. I ain't gonna lie. I only look at bitches when they. Dog.
In your pussy.
Crowing cow. What are the.
Everybody. And like, that's the point. It's like, what the fuck? This shit is so whorish and sexual that like. I just want to know. If I'm in a yoga class of 15 bitches, you telling me. 9 ain't thinking the same I'm thinking?
I ain't gonna hold you. They have to look good.
Oh, no. You could be like, ugly and I still think about it.
Oh, my God. All right.
Listen, ugly people have hot sex. I like gangbang porn.
I wouldn't know.
You never watch
it? I wouldn't know.
You only watch hot people in porn?
No. I'm not gonna lie. Literally, I've said it too much times on here now. I literally be like, oh, you so fine. Oh, you so fine. Oh, you so fine. I literally come off of how good they look, bitch. And if they ugly, I'll be like, this doesn't work for me.
Okay.
Bitch, I'm going to start sending you videos so you can see these niggas be fine.
Yep.
The way these motherfuckers keep getting me to subscribe to their OnlyFans just
I'm
so
going
to
look
like,
at the body.
No.
The only thing I can't do is a bad wig.
No. Well,
that
only,
girl in South Africa, I shouldn't have paid her. That
I only
wig
watch
was...
men.
And they have to look so good that I can imagine them being my partner.
Hard wig, hard life.
Because I'd be like, ooh, baby, take that. Ooh, baby, give that. Ooh, baby. And I'd be acting like the man is my man. And I'm watching him in action with another man. This is where my mind goes. I am directing.
Okay, but
anyways, let's get into our hors d'oeuvre. Now, for this, it's kind of blending vanilla shit with a hors d'oeuvre. I want your advice for this. This
Give
is
me.
A sex tip for this advice. So, after admitting that she reported her husband to the police because of his creepy sexual kink, a woman has asked for clarification on whether or not she was in the wrong.
What's the kink?
I'm about to get to it.
Because you know I like a butter knife.
So a woman has been urged to pack up her things and leave her spouse after she shared that his sexual kink made her feel uncomfortable and she had reported him to the police.
ABDL. Do I know the kink?
You know the kink.
It's not baby diaper?
And based on where we kind of draw the lines with our fantasies, this is why I wanted to ask this question, especially based a couple weeks ago on yours. So.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Let me get to it. She says, I told him it makes me very uncomfortable, but I went along with it for a short period of time because he said it's the only thing that can get him off now. But I just couldn't continue with it anymore as it was making me fear for my life.
Yeah.
His kink is essentially
waterboard
to have me to pretend to be dead and lifeless. The woman revealed that this sexual preference was a recent change and it has caused her to question her husband's mental state.
Okay.
He's also been getting a lot more angry and aggressive with me lately, she adds. Wanting to get help for him, the woman decided to report him to the police so they could speak to him and he could get some professional help. However, things backfired with the husband, of course, threatening her before she went to the authorities.
Oh, if she ends up dead, well, this is going to be sick.
Well, I don't know, but for this specific one, we've talked about the R-word kinks. We've talked about kidnapping kinks. I've also played this with my ex in terms of the R word. For the sex tip this week, I wanted to ask you, and both of us can do this together. A, what would be a sex tip to communicate to your partner that you can't help but judge them for their kink? And also, though you want to please your partner, if you're uninterested in their kink, what should you do? So I think that we've opened up the dialogue to have people want to try a whole bunch of new things. And clearly, as you're with somebody, maybe their kinks and fetishes change over time. How would you communicate a partner coming to you with a kink that actually makes you uncomfortable? Especially because she did say she played into the kink a few times.
So I think that the scary thing about this, because with mine, with the butter knife situation, I told him I want this.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I want you to scare. I told him I wanted to feel scared. I want to
It was a feeling that you wanted.
Yeah.
Okay.
With this specifically, I'm trying to think, what would I say?
Because
I would definitely offer a suggestion. Like, for example, someone told me they wanted me to play dead in a kink. I'd be like, that makes me feel really unsafe. But I would do a pillow princess thing.
Okay, but...
Hello.
It's weird because I remember role playing where I specifically wanted to be so intoxicated that I consented prior and told him I'm going to act like I can't consent.
Mm-hmm.
And so though I was so intoxicated, I wasn't lifeless, but I absolutely was like acting so inebriated that, and that
I like to be woken up with dick. Like I like
to
be fake.
Well,
sweet.
That too. And again, if he's saying that this is his kink, you would say that you would just flat out say, this makes me uncomfortable and I can't do this for you?
If for the one that she's talking about, to play dead, I don't like that.
Okay.
So
let's not, what about something else that makes you uncomfortable?
Like scat, maybe?
Okay.
And then I would probably offer pee.
So you would just offer something to kind of compromise.
So like, I do think there's a compromise in everything. For example, like my fantasy would be two guys, right? But I ain't gonna.
You're done it, bitch.
I know I ain't gonna get it,
baby.
But I've definitely had the dirty talk of it.
Oh yeah,
I've had the fingers in my mouth, like you wish another dick was in your mouth. Like I've had
that. Yeah.
And so I think that there's things of like compromise with everything, and I never want my own desires. Excuse me. Let me say that. my boundaries to be violated. Like, I'm agreed. In my year of no, bro.
Right.
I love saying no. It's my favorite thing. I think I say it a lot for work.
Me too.
I say it a lot for...
But you see, you be getting a lot of no's from me.
Do you want to grab a drink? No.
No.
You know? Like...
You want to record this? No.
I say no to you too.
Yeah, and, we be saying no to each other.
And I think, like, it's a lot of power.
A whole bunch of no's over here.
Yeah,
no, 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 bitch.
No is such a... It's something we are scared to say.
And I'm so glad that we are both comfortable.
I thought you were trying to give me a high five.
No. Yes. For me, I'll be honest with you. I think this is the thing. When it comes to kinks, fetishes, or how you and your partner have chemistry in the bedroom, it's really important for you to also come to the realization that this may not be your person. I think that calling the cops is a lot. And unless you know that nigga be going to the cemetery to smoke some blunts and maybe that nigga...
She said that he's been violent with her.
No, no, no. I get that. But that's outside of the bedroom. That's outside of the bedroom. I'm talking about...
I think that this is all included, Mandy. If a man has been violent with you, and then when you ask fuck, he wants you to play dead, bitch, that go together, ho.
Okay.
I'm scared.
If
a nigga wanted me to play dead and he wasn't cussing me out and hitting me, maybe I'd be like, this ain't that scary. Oh, you telling me you get violent with me and then we fuck and you want me to be dead?
He's been angry and aggressive. That doesn't say that he's been beating her ass. So to me, though, that's where I'm taking that out of the bedroom. It doesn't say that he's been doing that in the bedroom. So to me, that's where we're separating our desires and the behaviors in the bedroom. Clearly a relationship, you shouldn't be with a man who you feel unsafe with, period. We've talked about the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to me, this is literally leaning into the kink because our minds go crazy. There's bondage. Bitch, you just had a butter knife to your throat. Crazy. Ew. I ain't here for it. Like, I've had conversations with men who were like,
you can't say ew. That's kink shaming.
It ain't for me. Y'all could do it. And if a man came to me.
Don't ew my yum.
Okay, yuck. It's yuck my yum, but.
You ewed, though. That's what I'm saying. You didn't say yuck.
Well, because I don't like blood. I don't want you to act like you about to stab me. I talked about my.
Okay, well, it wasn't period sex, bitch, because I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have our salt burn moment,
but,
baby.
Well, I'll say next that there moon. Was someone that I was once interested in having sex with. And as soon as he let me know that his kink was knife play and blood, you have go find you a partner for that. I literally was not interested because A, that's my boundary. I can't fulfill you, but I'm also not going to have sex knowing that I'm not going to fulfill you.
And also, like, to be fair, if the knife play was him actually wanting to see blood and it wasn't like this fantasy play,
would that have been different for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because to me, we're in this, I'm blindfolded. It's this pretend land. Seeing the blood, the slicing, I can't do that.
Okay. So basically, your suggestion, though, overall would be if you don't feel safe with this person, if you can't please this person, leave this person.
No, I think that...
Okay, that's not your... That was my advice. So what's yours then?
Leave them?
If this nigga got a kink that make me uncomfortable so much so that I'm judging you and thinking to call the police because I think you need professional help, I'm gonna leave you.
Why can't we just not do that part of sex, though?
Boom.
If you have a kink...
I'm like, bitch,
you like to peg. So if you can't peg a nigga, he's supposed to leave you?
Well, no. To be very clear then, he was open knowing that that was my kink and he was not interested.
Yeah,
in
but
it.
If it was a hard no, you would have left him? He wouldn't
have No, but his compromise was to allow me to do it to someone else. So if you don't have the wherewithal to let your partner go enjoy this kink with someone else, that's a whole different. I assume this to be a monogamous relationship. Pegging was a hard no for my ex, but he was open to allowing me to do it with someone else. So it's not like I was kept from my kink or my pleasure at all. There wasn't a boundary put on what I wanted to enjoy. With this, it sounds like, bitch, I gave you a little bit. Now
and it's okay for there to be boundaries. Maybe you just didn't have anything as crazy.
Right.
So.
And I agree. There's reasons to have boundaries.
Can I take over your hors d'oeuvre? With my foot job. That shit was really fun.
Look at you wanting to bleed into my outline. No, you should have followed your own outline. I want to get into the horrible decision.
All right, we don't have to talk about my foot job.
Good. All right, we'll save it for another episode. We're going to get into the horrible decision because maybe.
Yeah, the niggas that want to pay for feet, they are in here. Pit.
Here you go, bro.
They're like, ooh, I want to know how you did it.
You having a man and lifting your legs this many times, baby, You trying to show puss to the YouTube.
I did see something recently that was like, if you got a nigga, how many thirst traps can you do? And I was like,
wait, that was, who said that?
I think it was conversations with Zoe, and he like sent me something, and he'll send me some of the clips, but I saw like, are thirst traps allowed if you're taken? And I was
first
like,
off, if you find everything a thirst,
hello,
bitch.
Bitch, I'm just be a gonna say,
get the fuck out of here.
I literally was gonna be like,
I can't control niggas being hungry.
I could
thirsty,
literally
bitch.
Be at the beach, babe. They're going to be starving for me.
I could literally have my face be, it be a selfie, and my lips look like it could wrap around their dick. I can't help that they want it. These lips be looking voluptuous. wait, Andu.
You're a petty bitch that lives for drama.
Don't do that.
See, the thing is, you ain't have to do that.
See, the thing is, you better calm the fuck down, bitch. You see what I mean? You see why I can't take her serious, bruh? And look, everybody laughing. Why y'all laughing? I don't like seeing all this teeth in the background. producers.
Honestly, it's just funny.
Honestly, shut the fuck up.
Bro, right. I'm going to tell you, it's only funny because I feel like I'm not keeping up enough. So whenever someone else tells me about it, I'll be like, bitch, what the fuck is she? What did that do? You're making me want to call Mandy and be like, hey, how's the weather? Just so she can tell me something.
First off, I don't even be doing that.
Bitch, I love other people's drama.
That's the crazy thing. But I don't be, when I tell you I don't have drama, that's why I watch the
house. How you don't have drama?
I don't have drama. I don't know what y'all talk about. I ain't got no drama. This is why I like reality TV. I be like, ooh, they lives are so much more drama food than mine. I ain't got no drama. What is this noise you're making?
I think that drama is
subjective, and I ain't got it, bitch.
You literally just said everything drama. That's going on the internet.
I ain't got
in the
drama. I ain't got drama. That was a couple weeks ago. If we, anyway,
the Lululand.
We're not gonna do this. I ain't got no drama, cause you know what's crazy? I don't think about nobody. So
no
drama?
More pain. You kind of look like her too with this little outfit.
Don't do this.
You could be on stage. No
first
more
off,
drama.
So now I look like Mary. Don't do this.
You look like the boots and it's
first
missing.
Off,
sorry.
First off. These boots ain't high enough to be married.
That's true.
Bitch, they got to go above my knee.
But you can figure it out.
All right. Speaking of, you might be able to fit your little foot job thing.
No, I'm not.
Right?
You ruined it.
No, you might be able to.
No. Nah.
Okay, that's fine.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What up, Bread Trend?
Y'all, make sure you get your tickets now. May 5th, we are at the Earth Theater in London.
Listen, we made this a specific request to be in London on the weekend so that our all of our Euro people can come and see this. We want our whole
not our Euro people.
European people.
Okay.
European people. Whatever. All the black people that live over there, just take that motherfucking Eurostar and come and see us. We're going to be there May 5th. We are having a whole new show, one that you didn't see. This is a part of the Climax Tour. So even if you were on the Climax Tour and you need a little trip, it's going to be warmer. It's going to be fun. Come through and see us.
That's right. Make sure you head on over to whorehive.com and get your tickets now. So for the horrible decision this week, I want to lean into being touch-starved, which I've been talking about a lot. I talked about it on Patreon like a month ago. Oh, shit. Sorry, not the burp.
It was like when that bitch threw up on a banana, which you haven't sent me. I don't appreciate that.
Calm down now. Calm down. We gonna get it. We gonna get it. So being touch-starved is also something I'm dealing with, not only in therapy, but this podcast and where the fuck I am in my fucking life. And oh my God, it's giving. I changed because if y'all go back to the fucking beginning of this podcast, I talk about fucking niggas and not kissing them, fucking niggas and not cuddling, doing all of those things. And since my relationship, that's been something I now realize I am completely yearning. It ain't even dick, even though I got the one nigga, which hopefully I get my round three. But I don't crave at all sex as much as I realize I'm crying to my therapist saying that I want to cuddle, that I want to hug, that I want someone to massage me, and not one that I pay for, but one that's a little bit more intimate. I think we talked about on our Patreon that I found intimacy in watching a TV show with somebody and how much I miss that. And so I could say it's getting older, but the things that I crave now from a man is so different than just the sexual desire to be with one. It's feeling respected. It's feeling cared for. It's feeling loved. It's feeling protected. It's feeling safe. All those things. And I realized that a lot of those things come with intimacy. Mm. And everything that has nothing to do with actual dick and pussy. No vagina, no nothing. That's why I said maybe you get to talk about your foot job, because maybe that's intimate. Maybe that don't count as sex. Foot job sound like a job, not really sex.
Well, to be, actually, this is something interesting. The foot job, which I won't go into detail with,
because I stopped her,
was how sex was about to start. And then we were both like, maybe we shouldn't come. Maybe we should hold it for our vacation. Like, we're going to be on vacation for a week. We're going to 10 days. It's long.
That's a long ass time.
The longest we've been together was a week. And he literally was like, bitch, you don't annoy me. This is crazy. He don't call me a bitch, but that's really how he gets it. But yeah, we have to go between LA to Hawaii, back to LA, leaving from New York. It's a lot. So we talked about holding it. He's like, yo, people go there for their honeymoon. Like, let's fucking hold this. Come. Girl, it was crazy. Literally, like, my foot, I thought his dick was going to break. That's how hard he was. But say all that to say, I realized how intense the intimacy gets when you aren't having sex. We went to DC a few weeks ago. I met some of the Whore Hive. They were great. Shout out to Marjorie. I hope that's her name, at the Lyle. Long story short, we had a 45 minute makeout session. And he told me he thought it was the best sex we ever had. I was like, really? He's like, yo, it was such a buildup for me. Touching you, looking at you, kissing you, talking to you, listening to music in the back. Like, it was so much of a build. And I think that type of shit, when you don't have sex, it's like, it almost makes the sex not that big a deal.
Right.
You definitely need a cuddle buddy, girl.
It's so crazy because the word need is something I'm battling with now because of all the trauma associated with
it. We can need touch.
And I realize, though, I do. I need it.
Why don't you just do it with a woman?
Well, so, can I tell you? Oh, my God, I hate that you brought that up because that was just in my fucking therapy
There's
session
the safety,
today.
Girl.
When I tell you, I absolutely love and adore my friends. They've been now joining me on tour. They've been like, bitch, what city we going to next? Because I get to fly people in and out and shit is comp. And I feel like I'm on tour with my friends and I love it. I'm in a space where I realize, love my homegirls to death. Love intimately, or not intimately, love fucking women. Mm-hmm. I have zero desire to date women.
Not dating, Mandy.
No. Even being intimate. Like,
oh.
I don't want that with a woman. I enjoy eating some pussy, rubbing on a titty, kissing you with a man in the
but
room.
But she talks about cuddling friends before.
Yeah, but that's, and I still want a man right now. I want that from a man.
So I was going to make a comment about the touch starve.
Yes.
That I think you may need to try out to just surprise yourself. The dude I was dating 2 years ago, Dreamville dude, he said to me during the pandemic, he was so stuck to his computer. The company we worked for is one we were all participating in during the pandemic. I feel like...
anyway. You don't have to give any more details.
No. I was going to say, I feel like there wasn't a person that didn't almost crash this company, right? Because of how much. And he said, I didn't get to leave my computer. And I went to get a stretch. And he was like, I didn't even realize the person that touched me, like, how much my body felt full. Like, I needed to be touched. I think it's easier said than done because you're associating all of that with a person that you love in a romantic way. Some touch can happen, bro. And I think you should explore it. And I think you should just try to survive yourself with sensual massages, with maybe some cuddling with people that you know you won't fuck. Just that touch point. Like, it's like when you've hugged someone that really needs a hug. Like, you don't realize you need a hug until you get one.
So that's the thing. I don't want to pay for a massage. I know. Oh, and it's open now. So he back on the schedule. I might have to go see him. But
he on there?
Oh, bitch. Flatiron, baby. It's open. Don't be looking.
My birthday's on Sunday.
Don't be going to get a massage. Oh, Vinny should feel his massages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bitch, when he put my leg up.
Baby. But even that, I realized that I want someone to spend the night, sleep over. Like, I want the
intimacy
of those things without, of course, without sex, but I don't want to have to pay for it. You know, I ain't paying for dick. I don't want to pay for intimacy either, goddamn it.
Uh-huh.
I just want somebody to actually like to be around me, to cuddle, to lay up with, to fucking enjoy, and that's it. So being touch starved is where I'm just like, damn, I actually do need a person. Before we get to home mail, because I wanted to share with you guys the potential effects of a woman who is touch starved. And
murder.
These things, I mean, it could be. You could become a murderer. But I wanted to go through these things because where we may feel like we don't need a partner, we don't need nobody, especially in this modern woman era of super independency and codependency being such a bad word associated with relationships, I realize how much I need intimacy from someone that I'm not only attracted to, but someone that I feel safe with. So it's not a stranger. It's somebody that I genuinely like to be around. Which is hard because you niggas be a nigga. Anyways, things in which can be affected if you are not getting intimacy. The first one is low self-esteem, loneliness, a lack of emotional connection. This one might be why the fuck I was celibate. Decreased libido. Increased stress, which that's not surprising. My word that I'm also working through in therapy right now, resentment, a communication gap, of course, infidelity, a negative body image. And for those of you in a relationship or in a marriage, this is actually where I know we talk about fucking money. A lack of physical intimacy is one of the leading causes of divorce. And of course, it's because it leads to not only resentment, but sometimes infidelity. Sometimes
because like, that's a real connection, right?
And it's needed as human beings. Fucking hate Jesus, Muhammad, Allah. I don't know all the little.
You fucking hate it?
I don't know why. No, I'm mad that it got wired that way because now I'm dependent on another human being for this. Like, where the aliens at? Bring them down, bitch. I'm waiting. But we done been wired this way by our creator to actually need someone else. And in my super independence as a woman and a part of me that actually felt strong and saying, I don't need no man. I'm like, fuck, I really fucking need this person to make me feel this way. And it has so many connections to so many other things.
I'm going
to
say this because I think you and a lot of people need to hear it. Saying you need connection is okay and very healthy. That's why we, you know, replace friendships sometimes with partners. Like maybe you're watching a show or a movie with a friend because you're single right now, or you're taking trips with a friend because you're single right now. Like just because you need, like it's just, we have to live our lives.
Andrew.
And I think that is the thing that we're not doing. At least I could speak for myself because I was becoming so angry with my ex for the reason that I was single that I couldn't just enjoy anymore. And like the openness I had for people was so closed because I was so mad. That is the final phase of grieving in a breakup, I think.
Okay.
It's like my self-worth, I'm not really speaking about you, but me, my self-worth was becoming so attached to him and me thinking, you talked about a friend that said they couldn't be around you because they were, you know, partnered or whatever. And like, for me, I had felt that I wasn't feeling worthy because this person was gone. Which is crazy because when we see single women, we kind of pity them. Not we, society pities them. She could have left a terrible person.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, there's so much power in that. And how many unhappy people are we seeing in relationships? I was unhappy at the end, not for the full part of my relationship or even more than half of my relationship was great. But I think that like the weight of the word need makes people feel like they're giving up their own power. But right. It's okay. Like living your life until it happens is the number one priority. I literally wrote in this book yesterday I was reading some of the things with the person that I'm dating, how happy and how I couldn't believe what was happening to me was. Like I really had just focused so much on my own personal joy day to day instead of being angry. Literally, I mean, maybe the first eight things I wrote about, I want someone alternative. I talked about wanting someone that looked like Lenny Kravitz, bro. Wrote it down. It was crazy. And then one of the final things I wrote was a man that makes me feel so sure of my place in their life. And on the next page, I wrote about the things that I wanted for myself and that I was tired of myself doing. And the thing that I wrote was, I'm so tired of feeling like it's my fault. Like I get chosen over. I get so tired of feeling like I made a choice in my life that's keeping me from a partner. And I used to think, not horrible.
This podcast, I was about to say. No.
Not horrible, but just like my freedom. My personality supersedes horrible, right? I've always been this girl.
Yep.
Before I had a podcast, I might talk about sex with everybody, right? That used to scare me. And like, ooh, is that why people don't want to end up dating me? Bro, we are exactly where we're supposed to be. And the people we meet celebrate that and they'll match that and make that feel, that energy feel increased and like purposeful. So like, it's really about knowing that you're in the right place. Bro, timing is everything. It is. Like, it's so everything. You're going to meet a nigga because it's just happening to me right now.
This is count number like 16.
What?
For the N word.
We both sent each other a concert that we wanted to go to. It's at Elsewhere. Like, same time. He was like, yo, you really like mine. And I was like, bruh, I can't believe I met you right now. What if I met you 2 years ago and you're with your ex and I couldn't have you? And I realized like, oh, we're meeting people the same. Old Bay meeting the person he's with. What if he met that bitch a month before, right? Or he couldn't have been with her. He wasn't ready to be with her. He went through therapy. Like, we're so much in timing. Like, the people we're supposed to be with, they're going through their phase. You're going through therapy. Bro, a nigga that you end up meeting, 17, count 17, he may like,
now, what did he mean? Count 17.
You just said, I said 16 times.
Oh, okay. Okay, nigga, again.
He might really dislike a quality that you are working through. And if you met him today, he would not be able to be with you.
I mean, you know that I told you that's why I'm revisiting.
Q. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, right? Like, the person that you're looking for, there may be something they need to get over. There may be maturity levels they need to reach. Like, I really have a strong belief that like there's a divinity in timing. And I just believe that for love, but my life.
Can I ask you then, maybe you're a lot more emotional than me. So I feel like you meet a guy.
Bitch, please.
Hold on.
You cry way more than me.
No. When I say emotional in regards to your ability to hop in and out relationships with people that you feel safe and comfortable and move forward with. And I ask you this because in terms of intimacy, how do you find or request this? So this is my issue right now. So I got the little nigga that you know. Y'all saw each other at that event at one time. You know, the one I told you. So I have. Bitch, the one I just sucked his dick and didn't get.
Oh.
Okay, him. Okay.
Thank you.
So even with him, right? We know that we have this. It's not a relationship. We have casual sex. And we enjoy each other. We talk damn near every day. But it doesn't go beyond us talking about how we can't wait to fuck each other the next time we see each other. So because it's so casual, before we wrap out of here, this is my home mail. And I would like your advice on it. I am having casual sex with somebody while also craving intimacy. This person I do not want to be with, but this person I truly enjoy being with when we're together. However,
him.
Yes. However, in the times that we're together and we talked about it, I'll have my own room sometimes, all the time. And we kind of enjoy what we've already created. However, I need fucking intimacy. How do I communicate to someone who I've already created a casual sex relationship with that I might want us to stay in the same room and cuddle, that I might want to wake up next to him, that I might want kisses on my forehead, and that I don't really want much else, but in the time that we're together, because it literally, we're never together, like, we'll be together for like 2 days straight. How do I request intimacy from a casual sex
relationship? That is such a homemade question I'm sure a lot of people have.
I know. And so by the way, we have men in the room, so intimacy with a casual sex partner, if any of y'all have any advice, please come to the mic.
Wow. So this is an interesting thing because this was a topic that came up in my relationship because when I'm away and I'm in LA and, you know, something may happen with him and someone else, that was actually one of my hard no's.
Oh.
No sleepovers, no this, no that. And he was like, yo, like, I know what you're saying. He's like, not that he didn't agree. He's like, I don't really date like women that are like bottom tier bitches. Like, these girls definitely are used to men being able to give them a little bit more. I can't run through one of these.
See,
girls.
I can get more like a gift.
But I think he meant more like, I can't just run through a bitch that's dope. Like, bitch. When you're a girl of, I hate to be like Kevin Samuels-y, but like a certain stature or status or whatever, like, you can't run through a bitch and dub her. Like, right? Okay. Like, he's like, yo, I might have to do a little song and dance here with this bitch. And he's like, understanding certain things. I'm like, well, I don't really care. This is my thing, right?
No, she just called me a bottom tier bitch, which is crazy, but I'm going to let her keep talking.
No, new niggas don't just run through you, Mandy. The nigga flew you first class.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I can get the first class. First off, with no question, I get the first class. I get the room at the Ritz. I get, nigga, I wouldn't have my
I'm talking about a girl that'll be so desperate for dick, they just let you do anything.
But that's the thing. And maybe it's a
love language. And treat you any type of way.
But maybe it's a love language thing. I'm telling you, the first class, the gifts, the treatment, the games, like, all of that means nothing because, bitch, I want you to rub my forehead.
Right. And I understand because that's a real thing.
Right.
Even for me, like, when dating other people, like, I'm sure that nigga don't like when they take me to dinner. You know what I mean? But anyway, I would say you need to, I don't know, I'll tell you what I think you should do in this situation, but I'll tell you what you need to do moving forward.
Okay.
Stop being the cool girl.
Okay.
You are...
I don't want to be much more with him, though.
Hold on. You're being the cool girl to where guys feel so comfortable that they don't feel like you have an issue with this because you're cool.
Okay.
And
valid.
And that friendship that you build and that cool girl connection, kind of, he don't think he's mistreating you at all. Right?
No, he don't.
Of course he doesn't because you're the cool girl. I'm not really scared to be vulnerable. Your vulnerability...
Yep.
Has been an issue for you.
Absolutely.
Because it's your safeguard for your heart.
Right.
I don't give a fuck.
You and gonna so, look like a crying whiny bitch.
I don't think it's crying or whiny because you're not about to be crying whiny when you say what I think you should say.
Okay, what should I say?
We've been fucking for a minute. And while I enjoy where we're at, I'm at the point where I need a fake boyfriend when we're around each other. Need you to be my little fake man. I'm hungry. I need to watch a show. I need a little kiss or two. I don't really think my pussy can get as wet if I don't got a fake boyfriend.
Not a fake boyfriend.
And you let him know exactly what you need. The fake boyfriend is, one, a cool girl joke. It's not being like, I need intimacy and I need my hair stroked and blah. You don't have to go there. You can make it very light to where he'll understand.
Can I ask you, Wolf? That was good. You wouldn't be thrown off or felt like a girl was lying, like she wanted more, but she's going to joke about the fake boyfriend?
That's definitely going to pop in my mind. But if I can believe that you can really stick with it and it's not going to bleed over and be complicated later.
Oh, yeah, and I think he trusts me in my ability.
Yeah, and also,
starting by saying.
Edin is coming to the mic. Wait,
but remember, hold on. Before you talk, Edin, I said, I understand where we're at and that we aren't pursuing more. That's how you started.
That's how I started. Okay. Edin.
I feel like that's such a trap.
It's a trap because you feel like as women and maybe most men, once you include the intimacy, that a woman does start just...
Yeah. It's like fantasizing. Like, I know... Or romanticizing.
Okay, that's romanticizing.
That's kind of like, at least on my side, where I've grown as like a lover or I guess a partner, I try not to even make that a possible belief.
That's my thing.
I think that we need to be very clear, though, in that Mandy is tired of the transaction.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's ooh,
girl, don't use that word either. I'm in therapy right now.
Oh. No, but that is a word you should be using. Like, it's a little too transactional for me right
girl,
now.
Girl, he's not even paying like, me. I want to see him. He wants to see me.
Transactional doesn't mean money.
Right.
It's an exchange.
But I'm not fully getting what I want. But this is why I ask for the men listening. A woman comes to you and is like, I enjoy just fucking you, but I want the boyfriend, girlfriend treatment. Would that scare either
of you together? When you're together... It's not even like you're asking him to check on you on how your day was. Are you feeling good? You want me to send you soup? No.
Bitch. You love doing that.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think you're asking for a lot.
You're not.
Okay, so as men, me asking for us to maybe be in the same room, the cuddling, that's not asking for a lot?
At least for me, it's not.
Hold on. Whoop, look a little. talking to the mic like you know how to pod.
If you can be committed to it. If you can be honest about it. Because the real truth is people move their positions in relationships. They move positions.
Yeah.
So if you can stay committed to it and really make deliver on that.
And just be like, nigga, you only going to be my boyfriend for 36 hours.
Because he wants it too, to be honest. Bro, he wants it too.
That transactional shit for niggas is tough. And I even think a lot of men can compartmentalize. I can't, right? But
and I used to pride myself as a woman of being able to compartmentalize.
And you probably
can't.
And now
it's fucking driving me fucking
crazy. I do think you need to say it on the phone.
Okay. I mean, we talk every day.
Again. Really?
Oh, every single day.
Oh, girl.
But like, hold on. We be talking because he be posting his little outfits on
You'll
Snapchat.
Be okay.
And I be like, damn, you look good. But that'll be like our conversation.
I think
but
you're fine.
Very clear. When I say I talk to him every day, I just be letting him know he look good. He'll let me know I look good. Or we talk about
there's
how...
There's a touch point.
Yeah, nah. Or we both get drunk and I'll wake up and I'm like, nigga, why did you hit me at 4 a.m.? We're not even in the same city. And he be like, I got lit last night and I was thinking about what we... Like, so we... We be doing a little dumb shit like that.
I honestly do not think he's going to receive this badly.
Okay.
Like, you... That's a lot of talking. Even if it's super cash, like...
It's very cash.
So I think... Yeah, I think... Get on the phone.
So, can I be honest?
You've never talked on the phone?
We don't talk on the phone until I'm like, landed, see you soon. We only talk on, we don't talk on the phone. We text, but I'm not a phone person. I talk only until 11 a.m. I don't talk on the phone with nobody.
Okay.
All of my friends know I don't talk on the
phone. You have this conversation on the phone. And
okay,
either it's a glass of wine, either late night, maybe call him and, you know, tease it a little bit so it doesn't feel super heavy. But I think fake boyfriend's a fun way to say it. And then even if you want to be honest and be like, yo, I just don't have that many partners right now, nigga. So I can't just pull up on you to suck dick and leave. Like, I would even make a joke. Like, I ain't getting paid. I like being around you. We like hanging.
No, because then he might just offer me money. Look at you. I hate bad advice. I like what you said earlier. She was doing good. Goddamn.
I was joking, but.
Anyways, guys.
I guess he might take that serious.
Jesus. He might and be like, well, what you need, bitch? And didn't just might pay me and now I don't get intimacy, bitch. No.
Okay.
This is dick I want for free. Goddamn it. He fine. Anyways, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode. If y'all want to support us more and get more episodes like this, where we're solo, shooting the shit, talking the shit, join us over on our Patreon. That is patreon.com/horribledecisions. I don't like that you just did that, bitch. Anyways, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you also follow us on social media to see where you could see us live in a city near you.
Hurry up, I gotta pee.
All right, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Hey guys, we are part of the second annual Black Effect Festival in Atlanta, Georgia.
It's going to be a wild and brand new show that you didn't see last year. We're so excited to be back with our ATL family and our Black Effect family.
That's right. So the date is Saturday, April the 27th. Make sure you head on over to blackeffect.com and get your tickets now.
See you there.
See you there.
Once in a blue, some in-home Zooms.
Someone honestly, and you do this a lot, we are never going to please everybody. Some niggas is like so happy, like they feel like it's content that's back in the studio, and others are going to want home. When I tell you, I be reading them comments, and baby, I just know we not going to please all of y'all for nothing.
I don't mind if people like, you know, I get that you get to have a peek in because we never get to do real episodes like at home or anything like that. That was COVID. So you kind of feel like you got a peek or something a little different. I can get the allure to it. Like, I haven't really paid for bonus content in a minute, but when I did enjoy feeling like I had something that you wouldn't give the regular public. So if that doesn't work, then we'll just start doing nudes.
Well, you will start doing nudes, bitch.
You already got to feet. That's halfway.
I did also want to apologize to some of the patrons. Bitch, don't know what happened to the town hall. So for the 154 people that were in there this month, congratulations to y'all for being able to join us. You got some tea, a whole bunch of tea. Baby, when I tell you, I was looking everywhere and I've been recording like, first off, been using Zoom. We've been doing town halls now for years. Never locked, like one just, it just didn't show up anywhere. I looked on my laptop, my desktop. I asked you to look. Barry.
They may be able to recover.
Barry did some research and was trying to like see where it could be. So he was helping me. And I was like, bro, I can't find this shit fucking anywhere. And so not, mind you, when we were done, it said it was loading. Not sure where the fuck it went. Maybe our Zoom updated in the middle. Nonetheless.
Well, they can give us the money.
Y'all will be getting this bonus episode this week. But we don't have to rehash anything. Again, if y'all were on the town hall, y'all were on the town hall. If you weren't, you weren't. I guess Easter just passed. So you want to...
I mean, it's April Fool's today, and I took a pregnancy test, and it's negative. And that...
I want to say last year on April Fool's, you did too. This is like becoming a reoccurring thing.
No. There's no way.
With Lambo.
I was dating the... That was 2 years ago.
I thought that was
oh, that
April
jail.
Fool's, though.
That nigga is in
I swear
jail.
That was an April Fool's episode, though.
No, oh, the Plan B one?
No, that was the New Year's episode. A pregnancy test, though. I swear you came in here and did that on an April Fool's before.
I can't remember, but...
Swear to God.
Maybe I was joking, but no, I really took one this morning. Bro, when I tell you I've been feeling so sluggish, I don't know what I got. I just... Feel like
it better not be contagious. Talking about don't know what I got, bitch.
I feel like I can't. I don't feel sick. I just feel like I can't do anything.
Because I don't think we 6 feet away.
But I think my body's run down from travel. Like, that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah, no. I've been traveling every week. And if y'all are watching, wore J. Cole today because I will be at Dreamville. And bitch, I'm mad as fuck. And listen, I'm going to tell y'all about my little hypocrisy, right? Woke up this morning, was hoping it was an April Fool's joke. It's not. Chris Brown will no longer be at Dreamville, and they replaced him with fucking 50 Cent. And I just don't understand
who got why replaced they are with Usher. Usher was a replacement for someone else last year, right?
No, I think it was Usher and Drake. They were always the headliners.
Maybe
last
I'm thinking
year.
About Coachella. He, no,
there's always some sort of replacements going on. Let me tell you what they did. So they replaced Chris Brown with 50 Cent, and they replaced Money Long with Huncho. Now here's the thing, Huncho, that nigga fine as fuck. When I tell you, though, when I listen to him, my ears hurt. Like, I want to like him because he's so fine.
Hopefully the sound is bad for
like,
his set.
I would like to ride his face.
I love watching him and his girl. And I like their content.
Oh, he got a girl?
And honestly, it's a
black
girl.
Wait, he got a girl?
Yeah.
I thought him and Gloss was just like, fuck friends.
Nah, they were laying in the bed and she was like, you like me, eat my ass? He's like, yeah.
But Gloss was like, that's her nigga, but not her nigga.
Okay, like, well, that's her nigga.
They be fucking.
If you posting and you in the bed and you cuddled up, that's your nigga. But they be doing
that
still.
That is not your nigga. Just because you
posting?
Girl, no. Look at all the little thoughts that be up in bed with niggas posting that they in the bed with these niggas.
When
and they
sleep.
Niggas.
If you post, okay, that's okay. Your man.
Only if he awake?
My nigga asked me when he, like, he was like, what did he say to me? We had a conversation.
Not he want to be introduced on the gram.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, okay.
But, like, we had a conversation about it. And I was like, yo, I'm like a really consensual poster. Like, even my homegirls, if there's a picture I think they won't like, I'll ask. But I was like, you know, I do feel like it's time for you to get a leg in there. And he was laughing. He was like, yeah, like every time maybe you post me, there's like a new tattoo. Like, you got one on this side, one on this side. And then I'm like, no, because there's going to be a bitch that's like, I know that Africa tattoo.
Oh, absolutely.
I know that calf. And then I'm going to be sitting there crying like, did you fuck her yesterday? Or,
absolutely.
No. So I feel like it's just a no for me. I really don't. And also, my homegirl got me so convinced.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.